Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Friday, the 25th of August, 2017. It is the 280th show in the Word for Word series. We left off at the end of the third song of the Song of Solomon. There's a number of songs here, and that ended at the end of the first verse of chapter 5. There are six songs in total, and they span the chapters. The chapters do not delineate the songs. So we will begin today with the fourth Song of Solomon, which begins on verse 2 in chapter 5. And we're going to finish up Solomon today. There's a lot of explanation to do. I spent a lot more time researching. I was having a little trouble because the first several chapters really had some words that were much mistranslated into King James, and they were jumping back and forth between a man speaking and then, with no announcement, a female would begin to speak. So here we the woman speaking going to do a description of her lover. Now, a lot of this has to do with Israel, and it's prophetic. Verse 10 particularly is prophetic. So let's get into this. Let me clear my lungs here. I have to cough. That's just chronic. I can't help it. That's rough at times. So this is chapter 5, verse 2. Now I'm going to be going back and forth between the King James and the scriptures, and I have ESORT up on the other big computer, and I'll be doing definitions here. I'm going to read from the King James. I sleep, but my heart wakes. It is the voice of my beloved that knocks, saying, this is the man speaking, open to me, my sister, my love. That's 7874, my love. It's a female associate with a sense of intimacy. My dove, my perfect, and that would be perfect one, actually, and here's my magnifying glass, that's 8535. I have put off my tunic, how shall I put it on? Wait a minute, excuse me. I missed a line here. That is my fault. My perfect one. For my head is filled with dew. In other words, he's been out in the weather, and my locks, that's locks of hair, with the drops of the night, that's the mist and the condensation of the night. I have put off my tunic. That's 3801. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? And that ends his speech. Now the female is speaking again. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door. That's the door hole. And my love was thrilled for him. Now love here, they have bowels. That is the inner parts, the seat of sexual desire or emotions, okay? And thrilled is 1993 was thrilled over him. Let's see, that's 5-4. Let me look at this. We're moved, thrilled. Let's look at the, it says to make a loud sound like an English hum. Moaned or clamored. Now let's go to the Brown Driver Briggs definition. To be in a stir, to be in a commotion. In other words, she was all stirred up over him showing up. And let me clear my lungs again. Okay. Verse 5. I rose up to open to my beloved. And my hands dropped with myrrh, she had perfume on, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock, the door lock. Okay, verse 6. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone, or passed away. She took too long. This is continuing verse 6. My being failed when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Verse 7. The watchmen that went around the city found me. They smote me. They bruised me. 6481. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. Verse 8. I charge you, that's 7650, is to swear, to adjure, to swear to an oath, or to cause to take an oath. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Now, sick is 7945. and 2470 put together. Now let's look at these. Who or which for 7945 and 2470 to be or become sick. In other words, she is sick, made herself sick or weak over her love for this person. Verse 9. What is your beloved more than another beloved? O you most beautiful, and that's 3303, among women. The daughters of Jerusalem are the most beautiful. What is your beloved more than another beloved that you do so charge us? This is the daughters, pardon me, I was in error here. This is the daughters of Jerusalem questioning her. See, here's another shift. They don't announce any of this stuff. There's no clear delineation. It just is instant. So they ask her, I charge you that you tell him that I'm sick of love. And they respond back to her, what is your beloved more than another beloved? O you most beautiful among women, what is your beloved more than another beloved that you do so charge us? And here is verse 10. Now this has some implications. You can reference 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 12. You can reference the book of John chapter 1 verse 29 and the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27. Let me get a drink of water. Okay, here is verse 10. My beloved is white as in dazzling, and ruddy, meaning reddish. This describes a Caucasian male. The standard, the one to be compared to, in other words, among 10,000, describes King David. In 1 Samuel 16:12, it describes the beauty of Christ in that he was without blemish. John 1:29. I got a lung full today, folks. Pardon me. I have to clear my lungs. I can't speak. I have chronic bronchitis. I apologize for that, but it's not something I can control. Let's get back to the terms used of David in his youth is 1 Samuel 16:12. And it depicts the beauty of Christ, that he was without blemish, the spotless Lamb of God, and that is John 1:29. And it is also a fitting description of how Christ's assembly of the remnant will be presented as glorious, not having spot or wrinkle, and without blemish in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. So there are multiple references here that are prophetic in nature. This book is very difficult because it doesn't tell you when there's going to be a change of person speaking. And it's very poetic. Now listen to this, verse 11. His head is as gold refined. That's pure yellow gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. Locks. Okay. That's 7378 as black. Let me check that out. That Brown Driver Big says it means black. So his head is as gold refined, and his hair is black as a raven. His eyes are as the eye. Now, I didn't write this. Okay? I did not write this. Okay? His locks are wavy, is what they have in the scripture. Wavy hair. 8534. Look, see what wavy, branchy, used of woman's hair. It's a feminine noun. That's odd. And black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the channel of water, washed with milk, and fully set. Now, fully set is uncertain. We don't know that. That's an uncertain term. Fitly set is what they have in the scriptures. Now let's fullness, a plump socket of the eye, fitly set. His eyes were even and they weren't sunken or any of that. This is a description of beauty of a man. Okay. Verse 13, his cheeks are as a garden bed of spices, as sweet towers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. I mean, the stuff isn't dripping off his lips. This is all poetic, so it makes it very difficult. It is not a literal description. It's a poetic form. And the writings go on, because the writings are male and female here. His hands are as gold rings filled with the Tarshish. They have beryl, 8658 in the King James, but it's a Tarshish, and it is an unknown gem. Okay, we don't know what a Tarshish actually is, but they put beryl in here just to fill. Verse 14. They have copied the beryl in the scriptures as well. That is a mistake. They've inserted a word where they're not sure. Continuing on in verse 14. Pardon my stumbling. brothers and sisters, but this is a very difficult read. His belly, that's 4, 5, 7, 8 in the King James, and they have body in the scriptures. Let's look at this. What is that? Verse 14. His belly. 4, 5, 7, 8. It can mean belly. It can mean external belly. So that would be correct in the King James as, in other words, he had six-pack abs. His belly is as a plate of ivory, white skin, overlaid with sapphires. 5601. The protuberances from the belly that show the muscles, like I said, six-pack abs. Whew, boy, that's a tough way of putting it. Verse 15. His legs are as pillars of marble. Again, white skin. Set upon pedestals, not sockets, as in the King James. And they have sockets here in the scriptures. So that is number 134. Let's look at that. Base, pedestal, socket. Pedestals of gold on which marble pillars were set. So it would be pedestals of refined gold. There was common gold and there was ultra purified. It was put through the furnace several times. His appearance, 4, 7, 5, 8. Let me scroll down to that. I'm having to work with Esword as I speak to you. That's Mara A. The appearance. Okay. They have countenance. That is not correct. His appearance is as Lebanon. Choice as the cedars. In other words, beautiful countryside. He's good to look on. So you can't really say, oh, this guy looks like the country of Lebanon. No, this is poetic. It's not literal. Verse 16, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether desirable. 4261. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. 7453, that means an intimate friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. She's responding to the daughters of Jerusalem when they question, how is he better than the other lovers? And let me clear my lungs and get a drink of water here. All right, this begins chapter 6, and it's going to be the end of the fourth song. Verses 1, 2, and 3 will be the last of the fourth song. Where has your beloved gone, O thou most beautiful among women? Where is your beloved turned aside? that we may seek him with you. That's the daughters of Jerusalem asking her. Verse 2. Now she speaks, my beloved has gone down into his garden to the beds of spices to feed in the garden and to gather lilies. Verse 3. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He feeds among the lilies. So that's, and feeds also means to pasture. So this is, I'm fighting this tooth and nail, folks. I'll be real honest with you. This is beating up on me pretty bad. And I'm pretty conversant in Hebrew, but wow. This song is full of archaic terms and the switching back and forth between the speakers. So, here we are in the fourth verse of chapter 6, and this begins the fifth of the six Psalms. Verse 4. You are beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah. Now that's the name of a city, and it means true beauty and delight. Comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Verse 5. Turn your eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Your hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. That's what he's comparing his hair to a flock of goats. Because they have long-haired goats. Goats don't just always have short hair. Some of them are wool goats. They grow real long, beautiful hair. Verse 6. Your teeth are as a flock of ewes. Now that's female sheep which go up from the washing. In other words, they're white. They're scrubbed white. Whereof everyone bears twins. And there is not one bereaved among them. In other words, he had perfect teeth. Verse 7. As a piece of pomegranate are your temples. The temples of the head. This is the man speaking. I just realized that by this verse. He's describing this woman with this long hair. See, it switched on me again. Right? From verse 3 to verse 4, she's speaking at verse 3 and he's speaking in verse 4. So imagine this as a man describing a beautiful woman. Everyone bears twins. There's not one bereaved. Yet had perfect teeth. As a piece of pomegranate are your temples within your veil. Only women wore veils. So there's the clue as to the switch in the speakers. The gender of the speakers switched. It blindsided me again. This is a tough read, I'm telling you. There are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. Verse 9, my dove, my perfect, is but one. She is the only one of her mother, and mother's only daughter. She is the pure one of her that bore her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. This is describing Jerusalem, I think. Comparing cities. So the topic has changed. He's not talking about a woman. He's talking about the city of Jerusalem. Verse 10. Boy, this is tough. Who is she that looks forth as the morning, beautiful as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Verse 11. I went down into the garden of nuts to see the new growth of the valley, and to see whether the vine sprouted and the pomegranates budded. Verse 12. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Aminadib. Aminadib. That's 5971 and 5081. I'm going to look that up, see... what this refers to. Okay, that's Aminadab. I think. The people of okay, the people of nobility, the chariots of the people of nobility. Wow. This is very perplexing here. And here in the Scriptures, it says the chariots of my noble people. So I'm right there. People of nobility. Return, return, O Shulamith. That's a Shulamite. And let me look up the definition of why they have Shulamite here. That means the perfect or the peaceful. And that's the heroine lover of the Song of Songs. This is a fictional person. And that is the comes from Shalom. That means the perfect or the peaceful. Return, return, O Shulamith, return, return, that we may look upon you. What will you see in the Shulamith? As it were, the dancing of two armies. Now, this is describing a city. And it is shifted from lovers into a description of a city. So again, like I said, this is a tough read. Verse 7. How beautiful are your feet with shoes, O noble's daughter. The curvings of your thighs are like jewels. Now, what are they using thighs to describe here? That's 3409. I got to change chapters here. Curving of your thighs. It doesn't give a different description here. The sides are like jewels, the work of the hands of a craftsman. Probably talking about the wall of Jerusalem, how it curved, and it was a beautiful wall when it was all together. Verse 2, your navel is like a round bowl. 8326, navel. Why were they... I'm lost on this one, folks. I don't know what it means. All right? Your navel is like a round bowl which lacks not liquor. Your belly is like a heap of wheat encircled with lilies. I'm just going to read it because I'll be real honest. I don't understand it. In many places, it's beyond me. It's a personal writing. And it's so cryptic. A lot of people have said that it doesn't belong in Scripture, but it was written by Solomon, it does. Because I don't understand all of it, I'm not going to deliberately cut it out. I'm going to continue on with it. Your two breasts are like two young gazelles that are twins. Verse 4, your neck is as a tower of ivory. Your eyes like the pools in Heshbon, that's Heshbon, by the gate of Bat Rabim. Your nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looks toward Damascus, that's Damascus. I got to have some water. Your head upon you is like Carmel. That's Mount Carmel. And the hair of your head like purple. The king is held captive in the tresses. Now this may have switched back to the woman again. I'm just going to read it. It's not doing me any good to ponder over it. How beautiful and how pleasant are you, O love, for delights. This your stature is like to a palm tree, and your breasts to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs of it. Now also your breasts shall be as clusters of the vine, and the aroma of thy nose like apples. Whew. Verse 9, and your palate is like the best wine for my beloved, that goes down smoothly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. Here we go in a gender change again. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, verse 11, come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Verse 12, let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vines sprouted, whether the grape blossoms have opened and the pomegranates bud forth. There I will give you my loves. Verse 13, the mandrakes give an aroma, and at our doors are all manners of choice things, new and old, which I have stored up for thee, O my beloved. Now we go into chapter 8, which is a continuation of the fifth psalm, or song. Oh, that you were as my brother that sucks the breast of my mother. I should find you outside, I would kiss you. Yea, I should not be despised. I would lead you and bring you into my mother's house. Who would instruct me, I would cause you to drink of spiced wine, of the juice of my pomegranate. Verse 3, his left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. Verse 4, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up, nor awake my love until he please. So it ends with the female talking about the male again. I told you, they switch on you with no warning. They're talking about one thing, and all of a sudden they're talking about something else. Well, here we are in chapter 8. Verse 5, this begins the sixth song, and it is short, and it is the last of the songs in the Song of Solomon. It's not the Song of Solomon, it should be the Songs of Solomon. Plural, but they didn't list it like that. Oh, my. Verse 5, which begins the sixth song in chapter 8. Who is this that comes up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I roused you under the apple tree where your mother brought you forth. That's where you were born. There she brought you forth that bore you. Verse 6, set me as a seal upon your heart. Now that was a custom to wear the family seal around your neck. A depiction of the family seal, or a portrait of a loved one or family member engraved on it. Set me as a seal upon your heart. As a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as Sheol. That's the land of the dead and the inhabitants. The flames of it are flames of fire, which has a mighty flame. Talking about love. Verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods overflow it. If a man would give all the wealth of his house for love, it would utterly be held in utter contempt. Or it would be utterly be held in utter contempt. Because it's doubled here. Contempt is 936, and it's used twice as an emphatic. Verse 8, we have a little sister, and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a battlement of silver. If she be a door, we will bind to her with boards of cedar. Verse 10, I am a wall. Now here is a gender change again. I am a wall, and my breasts like towers. Then I was in his eyes as one as found favor. They didn't warn us. Boom, the woman speaking again. Verse 11. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. every one for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. Verse 12, my vineyard, which is mine, is before me. You, O Solomon, must have 1,000 another pieces of silver, and those that keep the fruit of it, 200. Verse 13, you that dwell in the gardens, the companions, listen to your voice. Cause me to hear it. Verse 14, hasten, my beloved, and be you like to a roebuck, that's a gazelle, or to a young hart, that's a deer, upon the mountains of spices. And that ends the book of the Song of Solomon. And all I got to say is, whew! I've fought tooth and nail through that dude. It's something you have to read over and over and over and over to get the gist of it. It's just a little much, quite honestly. And let me set that book aside. Now we're going to be going into Lamentations. That's the next book. And that's the Lamentations of Jeremiah. And I will be starting that on Monday, the 28th. And it was originally part of the book of Jeremiah, and it was later isolated because it was read publicly at one of the Feasts of Israel and was included in the five Megilloths, that's scrolls. And the ninth of Av, commemorating the destruction of the temple, is when it was read. Tisha B'Av. It doesn't leave any doubt that Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He was weeping over Jerusalem. And the book focuses on the destruction of Jerusalem as observed by an eyewitness. And Jeremiah alternates between these horrible accounts of the destruction of the city to the confession of the people's deep sins, and then to his appeals to Yahweh for mercy. Jeremiah has five chapters, and each is a separate poem of mourning. The first four chapters are acrostics. Now, what an acrostic is, there are 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and the word that begins each stanza is one of the letters. It has that word begins with that first letter. So let's see, 349. Let me go to Lamentations 1. It's Aka, but it begins with the letter Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Then the second verse begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all the way through, there are 22 verses to the first four books. And they're acrostics. It makes the poem easier to remember. And the poet covered his subject from beginning to end. That's what it implies. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, Jeremiah may have made himself conform to this method. This was classic Hebrew writing. And this whole book is about mourning over sin and its consequences and about the return to God for mercy. So that's what Lamentations is going to be about. We need to pay particular attention to Lamentations because in the coming trouble that is fast upon us right now, we are going to see destruction, and the cause of that destruction is Israel in apostasy again. And we are in a time of punishment and dispersion. And Yahweh is going to let us know how we erred. It's just straight up that that's what's on the way. And it's going to be very difficult for all of us. The people that are aware and are in the remnant, and the people that are not aware and not in the remnant, and the other races besides Israel. It's going to come down on them. They particularly will have a horrible time of it. Book of Revelations tells what's coming. We're seeing the opening volleys with the suppression of free speech and the violence. And if you walk down the street, you're liable to be assaulted or even killed because of the color of your skin. And the cops are not going to protect us. If we stand up for the truth, a lot of the misled, brain-dead people revile us. White people, our own racial kindred, will hate us and try to harm us. Well, we were told of this by Yeshua Messiah, that this would occur. You will be hated for my name, and you will be persecuted, and some of you will be slain. We have been warned. We are preparing. Those of us that are real serious believers, and we're getting ready for bad times. And I have told and told and told, and I told everybody, you're running out of time, you're running out of time, you're running out of time. Well, here we are, and it's really opening up. We've come out of the time of Jacob's trouble, I believe, and are fully into the beginning of the time of tribulation because of the persecution and violence against our people. We just had an eclipse. That's a sign in the sky that the sun will be darkened. I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to really interpret it, but it talks about it in Scripture. We're seeing all these signs. More to come. We're seeing the nations girding their loins for war. They want a war so bad. And when they want a war, the moneyed powers that be are going to have them a war. And who's going to be the cannon fodder? Not them or their sons or daughters. No, it's going to be the rest of the people. They're going to thin out the population. They don't consider us people. We're goyim. And that means nation. It doesn't mean cattle. They've even perverted the language. So here we are, and we're going to be reading a book of Lamentations, starting on Monday, of mourning over the destruction of Jerusalem. And much of it will apply to today, because these mighty cities that we have, they burn. They can be blown up. They can be torn down. You won't be able to walk the streets safely. You won't have a place to run and hide if you stay in there. The food stores, everything will shut down. The trucking will shut down. No deliveries. The food stores will be emptied. There will be famine in the land. There will be disease because of all the dead bodies. I mean, all of this is foretold. It's going to be really nasty, folks. I hate to tell you that, but it's going to be ugly. And you need to prepare spiritually, and you need to prepare physically at the same time. And the main thing is, just like Job, with all the persecution and trouble he had, don't lose your faith. Because Yeshua said, endure and occupy until the end. Occupy your temple. Don't just walk out and get killed because you're miserable. Call upon the name of Yahweh in sincerity, and He will hedge us about with His protection. He's going to take care of His people. You have to have faith in that, because there is no other hope, folks. There is no other hope. There's no man that's going to come in and straighten things out. Oh, we'll have politicians that'll talk a good game like they have, and after they're elected, they will do what the puppet masters tell them, like Donald Trump. Oh, he's done this, and he's done little bitty tiny things, dangling the carrot before the horse to get it to pursue it down the street. That's all it is. Smoke and mirrors and falsehoods. Look who he's surrounded himself with, and you'll tell who's running the show. So, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are flip sides of the same coin. They are the system. And they appear to be going at each other to make people believe that they have a choice. And it is falsehood. It's all fake. And the only thing that is real in the world today at all is the hope that we have with Yahweh and the second coming of Yeshua HaMashiach. That's real. That's what we have to hope on. That's what we have to believe in. That's what we have to run our lives according to the precepts that we are given by our Father in heaven, and be obedient to Him and keep His feasts and take care and have brotherly love amongst ourselves. This infighting doesn't get it. Time for me to go. And I will say Shalom Aleichem, and I will talk to you on Monday, the 28th. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal Master leads against the foe.